Christ is risen. Very nice. Very nice response. How are you guys doing this morning? Okay. I want to ask you a question, and then we want to talk a little bit about the epistle and gospel we heard on this first Sunday after Easter, right? This is called Thomas Sunday. My question is, it's about Jesus. Do you think Jesus is like us, or is he not like us? Is he more like us or not like us? And when I say us, I mean you and you and you and me and all of us here. Is Jesus like us or is he not like us? Anybody think they know? This is big theology here. Ben? Is he like us? In other words, similar to us? You know, is he one of our kind or is he totally different? Yeah, Jesus likes us. That's true. He does. He loves us. Say it again, sorry. Kind of different and kind of not different. Okay. Mark that one down. How about you, Grace? Is he like us or not like us? Not like us. Were you going to say that, Jeffrey? What were you going to say? Okay. He does like us. That's true. I got to change my words here. Is Jesus like you and me? Is he the same as Jeffrey and the same as David and Christian and Catherine? And all of us, or is he different? That's my question. So if you had to choose one, anybody have a thought? They have a thought? Benjamin? He's different. Okay. How is Jesus different? That's good. Let's say he's different. He can heal people. Okay, put your hand up first. How about you, Emery? Say it again. He doesn't have any sins. Oh boy, you guys are good. Jesus doesn't have any sins, and he can heal people. Now, some of us can heal people, but not just by saying a word, right? Maybe. We don't see that every day, right? One more. Nicholas? He can come back to life. Okay, wow, you guys are really rooted in the gospel. This is great. So it sounds like Jesus is a lot different from you and me. He's special. We believe that in our faith, you know. We believe Jesus is totally different from us in one sense. And we say that in our creed. If you guys know the creed, and I hope all of us know that, and if the young ones here don't, we're hopefully learning it. We say that Jesus is true God from true God. He's exactly like God. And what can be more different from people than God who created people? God is totally different. He's totally, as we say in big words, transcendent, right? He is the creator, not the creature. He is the one who makes things and people. And anything, if it's not God himself, it's created by God. So God made everything and everyone. And Jesus is just like that. Okay, so that's true. But there's also something else that's true. And someone here said it, I think. You say Jesus is kind of like us, right? That's another thing that we profess in our creed. Jesus, although he's fully God and he's completely at one with God and like God, exactly like God, he is also fully like us. He's just like you and me. How is Jesus like you and me? Any thoughts on that? Because we believe it for sure. Christian? He's a human. What did you say? Okay, when he was on earth, right, he eats, he ate, he drank. He had a mother, right? He was born just like you and I were born. And a father. Well, he had a special father. Jesus doesn't have a human father, right? His father's God. So we can say in one breath and mean it and affirm it that our Lord Jesus is fully God and fully human. That's something that the fathers of our church worked and prayed about and fought very hard to defend and to teach to other people so that nobody got the wrong idea about who Jesus is or was. And they also affirmed, and our scriptures affirmed, that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. So Jesus is fully God. He's exactly like God, and he's also exactly like us human beings, although, as someone pointed out, Anne Marie, Jesus doesn't sin. So Jesus is like one of us, except he's perfect. He's perfect, so he's still special. I want to talk a little bit about the epistle we heard, because if you were listening, it talked about a man who was going around healing people. And this man was so powerful that all he had to do was have his shadow pass in front of somebody who was sick, and all of a sudden they weren't sick anymore. Who was that in the epistle? That's from the Acts of the Apostles. That's not what Deacon Edmund just read. That's just what Mike David, our epistle reader, read before the gospel. Was anyone listening? Do you remember who that person was? David? Thomas. No, good guess, though. We talked about Thomas. Thomas, of course, is an apostle, right? Let's think along those terms. Maybe another apostle. William? It wasn't Jesus, and it wasn't Thomas. It was Peter, right? Peter, one of Jesus' apostles. He would just walk by someone who was paralyzed or sick, and it says that just the shadow of him, just the shadow, would make them rise up and be well. Can you imagine that? Peter's shadow. Is this the same Peter who in the Gospels denied Jesus 3 times? Is that the same Peter? Marcus says, yes, it is. It's the same Peter. Is this the same Peter who, when Jesus said, the Son of Man must be delivered up to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and buried and rise on the third day, tried to stop it from happening? Is this the same Peter who was denying the gospel of the cross because maybe he didn't understand it? The same one. And here he is in the Acts of the Apostles doing something we thought only Jesus could do, right? Heal people. That's one of the things we said that he does that makes him different from us. He heals people just by saying a word, just by touching them, or maybe even by his shadow passing over them. Okay, so something very, very special is happening in this epistle. Since last Sunday, what was last Sunday, by the way? It was a big day, Easter, right? Easter, Pascha, and on that day our church celebrates the fact that Jesus did what? Raise your hand. Peter? Died first and then rose from the dead, right? So since Jesus rose from the dead, between the time he did that and he ascended back up to heaven, which we celebrate in the church on Ascension, Jesus did some things. You know, he did some things. And one of the things he did we hear about in the gospel today. He appeared to his disciples and apostles. And he told them something and he did something very special to them. And his interaction with them is what makes it possible for people like you and me and the Apostle Peter, regular, ordinary, sinful people, imperfect. You know, we're not like Jesus. We don't not sin. We sin all the time. But makes it possible for people to do these things that are so like God, right? To heal somebody just by touching them or passing by them. What did Jesus do during those 40 days? What did we hear in the gospel today? Anybody remember one thing? Marcus, what's one thing? He appeared to the disciples and apostles. What's one thing he did, Peter? Yeah, he showed Thomas his side and his hands and the places where he'd been crucified. He did that because Thomas didn't believe. But even before that, he said something to them. It says he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He effectively gave those apostles and disciples the power of God, the power to transform human beings, well, actually themselves, you know, to transform human beings into exactly what Jesus is, like God in every way. See, this is something that we hear in these readings today, and our lesson for today is that it's through Jesus' death and resurrection and his sending the Holy Spirit upon his apostles and disciples that makes it even possible for human beings to be elevated into a godlike state. Some of our church fathers have said that Jesus Christ came and died and was raised up so that man, in other words, all of us, could become just like God. That's why it happened. That's why Jesus died, so that we could become like God. So in this reading, we hear about it already starting to happen. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Can everybody look up here at me for 1 minute? Okay. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them His Spirit, the Spirit of God. Okay? And the important thing that we have to do, though, we have to receive that Spirit. That counts for you and you and you and all of us. We have to be receivers of God's Spirit. And the first way we do that is by doing what it says in the gospel, by believing, right? Not being like Thomas and saying, well, I don't know how that could happen. I want to see proof because I trust my eyes. I don't trust God. You know, imagine that. You only trust your senses and what you know. And that's the final measure of what's true and what's not true. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, have to believe in God, and we have to trust Him and His Word. You know, these men that saw Jesus after He was risen from the dead, they went out and told other people that they had seen Him. And that's what Jesus told them to do. He says, go and proclaim this good news to the rest. And then after He met them, if you were at Matins this morning or you heard that gospel, He told them, go and preach this gospel to the ends of the world and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go as far as you can go to the farthest places of the world and tell people this good news and make sure that they are able to accept it and believe it. We don't have any proof to see with our eyes. We never saw Jesus after He got raised up from the dead, right? We only have the word of these apostles and disciples who say they saw Jesus. So if we want to start receiving the Holy Spirit of God, if we want to begin a life of transformation from ordinary human beings in our sins and our petty concerns of the world into a life of being transformed into just like God, we have to, as it says, do not be faithless, but believing. In other words, believe the gospel and believe it because it's the word of God. So today, we have a very good reason to be thankful. Jesus has been raised up. He's shown Himself to the world. We have the good news preached to us. We have some very capable apostles and disciples who took the good news out and brought it all the way from Jerusalem on that day to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in 2008. Isn't that something? Isn't that remarkable? Right? So let's thank God today. And I want you to quietly stand up. And don't go to your seat yet. Quietly stand up. And we'll say a short prayer here before we sit down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, O Lord Jesus Christ, that You came and You died for us, and that You were raised up from the dead, so that we too, in believing in You, might have life eternal and become by grace everything that You are by nature. For You are glorified with Your all-holy Father and Your Holy Spirit now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Christ is risen. Okay, you may go back and sit down quietly. Thank you for your attention.